Evening is from Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 24. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool you slaughtered the fat sheep with, without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them, and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth, so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy day, on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures? Or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must foul the rest with your feet? As for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet, and drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and with shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad, therefore I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Well, they didn't warn you this morning that I was going to come up and preach, so you didn't have a chance to run. I'm gonna try to talk about sheep and shepherds tonight. I'm gonna narrow that focus down. I'm not going to talk about elders tonight, but I'm going to talk about the shepherds of the Old Testament and our shepherd, primarily Jesus Christ, God, now. And so you might ask, what do I know about sheep? I've never been a sheep herder. My grandmother and my grandfather happened to have sheep on their little place up in Boise, Idaho. And so when we first started going up there, they had, oh, I don't know, half dozen sheep or something like that. In the later years, they were down to one. The sheep actually had a name, Lulu. And so we as kids got to see a sheep in action. It pretty much just hung around the pasture and ate, and that was about it. This past year when we were heading up to the Tetons, we passed several sheep herds in the mountains. They put them up there and they graze on the nice green grass and everything and fatten them up, I guess, to go to market or whatever they're doing with them, take advantage of the summertime up there. And one of the flocks we stopped, I think, to eat or something. And so one of the flocks was up on this hillside. And here's this lone sheep a quarter of a mile from the rest of the sheep, a long ways away. It was just hanging out by himself. So I have observed a few sheep. I studied a little bit about this. We're going to go into some of the aspects of sheep and see if we can figure out why Scripture uses these analogies. Analogy of the sheep and the shepherd is used throughout Scripture. I'm going to touch on Old Testament. I'm going to touch on New Testament Scripture tonight and see if we can't figure out a little bit about this subject. And do we really look, act like sheep? And I would venture to say, yes, in some ways we do. We are a lot like sheep. God knew what he was talking about. And then finally, will we be able to recognize our shepherd? As that passage in Ezekiel that Phil read, at the very end of it is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Jesus. It's interesting that terminology about David in there, he is, of course, of the lineage of David, so that terminology is used in Scripture a few times about Jesus and calling him, I don't want to use the wrong terminology. My servant David is the way the Ezekiel puts that. And so with that, try to move on. Before we lose focus on Ezekiel, I just want to touch on some of that because I don't want to go back and go through that again because it's kind of fresh in our mind. That passage starts out primarily against the leaders at the time. They are the shepherds. It would be the priests, the kings. Predominantly, I think the kings were considered the shepherds. They were supposed to take care of their people that were under them. They did a miserable job, as we read through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings. We know that those lineages didn't work real well. That they, wanted a king, an earthly king, and they ended up getting pretty much what the world got in the way of kings go. And in verses 11 through 16, God says he's going to seek out. So initially God was the shepherd, then the Israelites wanted kings, earthly kings. God said, okay, I'll give them you kings. And now that the kings are, kingships are ended, God is now going to take the reins back again as the shepherd. And he's going to eventually, of course, send his son, who will be our shepherd. And that is in the terminology, my servant David. There's a couple of steps in there where he says God will judge each sheep individually. It seems from the context that he's predominantly talking about the leadership and not the peoples. Later on in the chapter, it perhaps is looking at the people and judging the people along with that. So I just wanted to touch on a few things from that passage while it's kind of fresh in our mind. And then we're going to jump right into characteristics of sheep. This little guy, one of the things sheep do, like I said, we saw that one flock. There was one way off in the distance from the rest of the flock. Sheep tend to wander. They kind of meander around. They don't... go They don't follow necessarily the flock around. They just kind of do their own thing. As we see in some today, there's some that wander. They church hop. They don't go to church at all. So we can kind of get a picture of this characteristic. This little guy's got his grass. And if you can't see off on the side, there's a lion getting ready to pounce on him because he's all by himself in the case here. So that's a possibility. It's a possibility that the sheepdog's right there around the corner keeping an eye on him, ready to round him up if the shepherd tells him to, or the shepherd's there watching him and is going to gather them up, or there's no danger and he's not worried about it. So, we don't necessarily know the situation there. Another thing, sheep don't always pay attention. If you've watched some of the herding trials with dogs, you'll see what a work it is for a dog to get even a small number of sheep rounded up and into a pen. That dog really works pretty hard to get the sheep's attention. Sometimes it nips at their heels, that kind of stuff there. And I have some notes here I could have said, or they go their own way, or they follow with other flocks. They could mix up and go, oh, that sheep over there looks nice. I'm going to go over there and join that flock. So perhaps, there's another characteristic that men today, people today, are similar to. The sheep don't have a whole lot of protection. They don't have big horns, and they don't have sharp hoofs, and kind of wonder how they survive for many years, but I think the same way about doves. They don't seem to have protection. So there is normally a shepherd that is protecting the flock. It's interesting, if you've seen the shepherd's crooks, traditionally the old shepherd had a stick with a knob on the end of it. And that was the hook. They could get the sheep's attention with the knob. It was probably a knotty piece of wood or something. I don't know. And so the shepherd could discipline the sheep with that, could fight off an enemy like David did against the flocks. And that was the traditional shepherd's tool of the time. Sheep are valuable. You can get wool from the sheep. The sheep are good for eating, so they're valuable to the owner of the sheep. To God, they're valuable. And so you don't want to lose a sheep to an enemy, or they do require protection, or to a predator. They seem like they're, so I've got a picture of the sheep dog, the sheep herder dog there. These, by the way, are from a series called Shaun the Sheep. If you've ever heard of Wallace and Gromit, there was a character in there about Shaun the Sheep, and he went through some stuff. So they were kind of cute. I thought that would get your attention, so I'm using them. And they need assistance from the shepherd at times. The shepherd needs to guard the sheep. The shepherd actually has to assist in birth. Sometimes the sheep will get stuck, and the shepherd has to help that, because, again, he doesn't want to lose a sheep. They're valuable to him. They're value to the owner. The sheep herder is being paid to protect those sheep. They need to keep them from areas of poisonous food or stuff like that. I need to keep them from dangerous areas. They don't want them falling off the cliff as they're wandering around, meandering, type of things. So there's that too. Wanted to throw this in there. There was a cute picture that I just had to use. But sheep within the family need to be taught to know the shepherd. So as the baby sheep are being raised, they need to know who the shepherd is also, just like we do. In Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go. He should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's very important. to us. Parents, I urge you, help your children along at home. It will assist in them in learning about God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The other thing is, within the church, there's no such thing as one sheep by himself. Does not form church. Church is always plural. That is a flock. They're like, again, so you can't go out on your own and be your own church with one little sheep. That just isn't scriptural. In John 10:16, it says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And that's in reference to the Gentiles being joined to the flock that the Israelites were part of. And, you know, we think about that. Just get off topic here for a sec. You know, we think about the Israelites, and it still wasn't all Israelites. They were still judged individually. All Israelites were not faithful to God, as we know. The kings certainly weren't. So just keep that in mind that we aren't going to see the entire Israelite nation probably in heaven. I would say we're definitely not. If you can see anything funny in that picture, there's a wolf in there in sheep's clothing. I just want to touch on those for a minute. Scripture gives us some warnings to be on the lookout for, because we, as the church, need to beware of the dealings of Satan and the dealings of his minions, his followers. They don't recognize being followers of his, but there's so much negativity now against the church that we just need to be very careful and keep our learning, keep on top of our learning, that we can recognize these people when they come in amongst us, and we won't be led astray. In Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Again, another reference to sheep, sheep's clothing. So, and in Luke 10:3, go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves to his apostles. It was going to be pretty rough. They were going to have to go against the Jews, their teaching, the ones that would not conform to the new covenant, and they were going to be very difficult to deal with, as we know. So with that, we're going to go back to the Old Testament and see how sheep and shepherds were described in the Old Testament. Now, it was a couple different ways sheep are described. Well, one is as sacrifices. They were a valid sacrifice for the Israelites. Leviticus 1:10 says, but if his offering is from the flock, of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt offering he shall offer it a male without defect. So there was limitations on what they could do, what they could offer as a sacrifice. It needed to be as perfect of a sheep as they had in their folds, and without defect. So it couldn't be a three-legged sheep type of thing. So they used them as food. So sheep could be eaten. It was a clean food. In Deuteronomy 14:4, it says, these are the animals which you may eat, the ox, the sheep, the goat, and it goes on to a whole list. But I cut it off at the sheep, because that was what I really wanted that focus to be. Sheep, as in the Ezekiel passage, used as an analogy, again, so there, it's not a New Testament thing for the sheep and the shepherd to be in Scripture. This is part of the Ezekiel passage again. And verses 1 and 2, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, woe shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? So again, that was in reference to the leaders were caring for themselves and not for the people at the time. So that was Ezekiel's trying to teach the leaders that they needed to be watching the flock. And another passage that's similar is a passage in Jeremiah in chapter 50. There's a whole section. I'm going to go through the whole thing here. Actually, there's just a couple of verses, I should say, within 50 that I'm going to touch on. In Jeremiah 50, verses 6 and 7, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They have gone along from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. All who come upon them have devoured them, and their adversaries have said, we are not guilty, inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. So I see some interesting pictures in here. They have gone along from the mountain to the hill, forgotten their resting place. Doesn't that sound like sheep grazing? That's interesting. Shepherds have led them astray, turned them aside on the mountains. They're basically letting their adversaries attack them, mainly because God is letting them. And then further down in that chapter, we see in verse 17, Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have driven them away. The first one who devoured him was the king of Assyria. This last one who has broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So we recognize that as when the Israelites were scattered, when Judah and Israel were conquered, many were taken captive, particularly Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon took a lot captive. Daniel was one of them. Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach and Abednego were others that are listed in Scripture that were taken into captivity and used by that country. A lot of them as slave labor. Sometimes they were allowed to live free in the countries. A lot of them scattered to Egypt. They're all over the place. So that's a reference to the sheep being scattered. And then in continuing in verse 19, and I will bring Israel back to his pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. And of course, that's a reference to the fact that they were going to be, for Judah, they were going to be in captivity for 70 years and allowed to return. And we can read about that in Nehemiah and Ezra, the return of some of those that were captives or had to live in the other countries, were scattered. And then continuing on, there's another section of that in verses 44 and 45. Behold, one will come up like a lion from the thicket of the Jordan to a perennially watered pasture. For in the thicket of the Jordan to a perennially... For in an instant I will make them run away from it. And whoever is chosen, I will appoint over it. For who is like me, and who will summon me into court? And who then is the shepherd who can stand before me? Therefore, hear the plan of the Lord, which he has planned against Babylon, and his purposes, which he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they will drag them off, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he will make their pasture desolate because of them. And God, again, was going to punish some of the other countries. And I think that's what this reference is. And that they won't have a shepherd who can stand before God. And we'll skip over to the New Testament. Most of my focus is going to be on John 10. That's a very interesting analogy that Jesus does here. Beginning in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold, or into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Oops, I didn't skip a slide here. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This is primarily against false teachers. He does not want the apostles to be misled and giving them plenty of warning. And so, but as we know in the next verse, in 6 and 7, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. So this figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." I'm going to take a little bit of a side trip here with this. And also in John, it's interesting the descriptions that Jesus uses for himself. In 6:48, he says, "I am the bread of life." In chapter 6:51, it says, "I am the living bread." In John 9:5, he says, "I am the light of the world." In the passage we just looked at, he says, "I am the door of the sheep." And a couple more verses down the road here in chapter 10, he'll say, "I am the good shepherd." In John 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then in 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in John 15:5, he says, "I am the vine." And in all those examples, he's using something similar, a descriptor that will help them come to understand who he is. I do like this, the Good Shepherd. Interesting the way Jesus unfolds this. Continuing in John 10, verse 8, "All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." It's interesting because they know the voice of the shepherd. He's going to get to that. If they're good sheep, they know the shepherd's voice, and they're not going to go with whoever comes in, the robber. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." So there's going to be safety in this. So Christ is there's a reassurance there that there's going to be pasture, there's going to be things to eat, that you're going to survive with this good shepherd. In verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And as we know, Jesus Christ did truly lay down his life for the sheep. He was the perfect lamb sacrifice. It's that sacrifice made payment that God required of us. Therefore, when we come to Christ, to God, doing it his way, he is going to provide us with the good shepherd. We will recognize the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. Continuing, verse 12. "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." A reference to what can happen if the... keep forgetting to run the slides down. So a reference to what can happen if the shepherd is not there. A hired hand who is watching over the sheep does not necessarily have the needs of that flock in mind. The flock is not going to recognize his voice. They're not going to come to him. And so in the case of the hired hand, he's not going to be a protector of those sheep. as the shepherd is, as a good shepherd. So it's an analogy to following the ways of man, perhaps, and going after the wrong, you know, not recognizing the shepherd, going after somebody else and following somebody else. And that's certainly a concern of ours. We want to follow the right shepherd. We want to be in the right flock. Continuing with our John 10 and verse 14, he repeats that. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Therefore, as we study, we understand and we recognize who Jesus Christ is. And we recognize that sacrifice. We recognize that He is going to be our protector. He is going to take care of us. Verse 15, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And again, reference to Gentiles being added to the fold. He's teaching the apostles. He's primarily teaching the Jews at this point in time, letting them know that there will be others that would be acceptable in his flock who follow him. And verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. And we know that he did, in fact, was sacrificed. We offer the Lord's Supper every Sunday as a memorial to that. We know that he took it back up. He was resurrected. He lived upon the earth. Many witnessed him at one time. There were 500 that witnessed him at a time. All the apostles plus Paul witnessed him, and they write in Scripture about witnessing Christ and teaching exactly what he taught. He taught only what the Father told him. The apostles taught only what Jesus taught them and what the Holy Spirit brought to them. So the question is, have you joined the right flock? There's a picture of them with the radio and dancing there, and maybe they're just happy. It could be happy things. It could be the wrong flock. So that's just a question that we all need to think on, reflect on, as to whether we are in the right flock. If we are truly following the examples given to us, then we are in the right flock. If it matches Scripture, it's the right flock. Some warnings. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And in 10:15, we just read, even the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That is the true shepherd. That shepherd is Jesus Christ. And with that, that's a brief introduction to sheep and shepherds. And I invite you, if you have any needs, or if you're not part of that flock, the way there is very simple. It's to know enough of the Word to believe that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth, was made that perfect sacrifice. Knowing that is the first step. Knowing that we have sin in each of our lives, committing to asking for forgiveness of those sins, making that bold request that Christ is the Son of God, came and made that sacrifice for us. We're baptized into His death. It's symbolic of His death and His resurrection. And then we do our best and follow Him. If you have any needs at this time, now's the time to come forward as we stand and sing.